Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Amen. And this morning, if you could open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 24, and we are going to get directly into the Word of God. And this morning, we're going to continue where we left off from last week. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Last week, we talked about the Apostle Paul's commitment to his mission in spreading the gospel. Today, I want to piggyback off of that as well, but I want to talk to you about the topic of spiritual maturity. Someone say maturity. How many would agree or admit, hey, there are some areas within my life I need to mature? Somebody wave at me. Everyone, come on, somebody. And this morning, we're going to talk about some real things, but we're going to talk about the process of growth and growing. How many know that we don't want to be in the same place we are today next year, right? And one of the things that I've learned is that growth is a choice. So we have to choose to grow and accept God's process for our lives. So this morning, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25, and the Bible reads like this. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become a servant, its servant, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. And then also, if you go to a few scriptures down, this is what he says in verse 28 and 29. He says, him we preach. Who do we preach? Him, Jesus. Someone say Jesus. We don't preach any other gospel but Jesus. Amen. But him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his work, which works in me mightily. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take control. Father, I ask that you would speak through me. Allow me to minister this message with authority, and I pray that you would provoke us to grow towards spiritual maturity. Father, we need you this morning. Take control. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So last week, we discussed the mission of the Apostle Paul. If we read Colossians chapter 1, what we would find that the Apostle Paul, he gives us his mission, which was twofold. His mission was twofold. One, he went out to preach the gospel to the outcasts of society of that day, which was the Gentiles. But secondly, the Apostle Paul committed his life to building churches. Now, what I want to do today is we're going to piggyback off of that, and I want to talk to you about why he did it. We know that he was willing to go to great lengths to preach the gospel to the hurting, but today I want to answer the why. Now, some of the things that we talked about last week is we answered the question, why do I got to go through bad things? Have you ever asked that question? Why me? Why are these things happening to me? And what we learned was not everything that we go through is a result of something bad. But sometimes God will allow us to go through things so we can experience what he experienced in his suffering. Suffering isn't always a bad thing. I don't know about you, but before I came to Jesus, my life was all tore up. And had I not gone to rock bottom, I don't know that I would have humbled myself and realized that there was a need for a God. See, sometimes before you can truly engage into a relationship with God, you have to come to the understanding that I need God in my life. We're living in a day and age where a lot of people, they don't think that God is necessary or a relationship with God is required. Today they teach in our schools, believe in whatever it is that you want and pursue happiness. The problem with happiness is contingent on a setting or things. Happiness is dependent on if things are going good. Are you hearing me? I pursued happiness. and I found myself chasing the wind. But there's this thing called joy that you find in Jesus, and that is everlasting. It doesn't matter if I'm in a good state or in a bad state. At the end of the day, I can experience joy because true joy is found in the Lord. So today what I want to talk to you about is why. Why do we live godly lives? Why do we pursue a relationship with the Lord? Why do we read our Bibles? Why is it important to stay away from certain things that the world says it's okay? Why? Have you ever asked that question? Somebody say why. I want to attempt to answer those questions this morning. So today what we're going to do is we're going to discuss why. Why did the Apostle Paul commit his life to building churches? When we look at the Bible and in the verses we opened up with, we read that the Apostle Paul teaches us about his mission, his message, and his commitment. Now, we know his mission was to reach the outcasts of society in that day, which were the Gentiles. And we know that his message was Jesus Christ. He wanted to preach to anybody that was willing to listen, but he committed himself to building God's church, and he says the why. Listen to what he says. He says, "Him I preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Now, that was the reason why he did it. He committed himself to building the church so that he could present every man perfect. Now, that's an interesting word, because I don't know about you, but I've never met a perfect person. But here he's stating that the reason why he's straining and building God's church is to present every man perfect to the Lord. Well, to truly understand this scripture, the first thing you have to understand is, what did he mean by that word perfect? If we define that word perfect in the Greek, it's a word called teleos, and that means fully grown, complete, and or mature. So when he says that I am straining to move forward and to present every man as perfect, what he is actually saying is that the reason why he was building the church was so that he can present every believer as mature unto the Lord. When we apply this word to the Christian faith, this teleos, which means grown, complete, or mature, what we find is we find a process of maturity that God desires for us to walk in. Now, I'm going to know that God loves us, and God accepts us how we are, but he loves us too much to keep us the same. When I walked in, I was tore up, and in some areas, I'm still tore up. Come on, somebody work with me, right? I'm still learning, I'm still becoming, I'm still growing, and every season that I enter, there's going to be something new that I have to change. But as I get closer to God, I realize that there are areas within my life that he doesn't approve of. Are you hearing me? And the goal is not perfection and to be perfect and look down on people, but it's ever growing and ever pursuing a deeper relationship with the God, listen, that it's hard to understand. Are you hearing me? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Think about that for a second. Have you ever just sat back and looked at nature? I think that sometimes we're too busy. But when was the last time we looked at the stars and we truly looked at how God created the world and we truly thought about the creation of people and how all things work? If you truly stop and listen and you look and you watch even nature, you will find that even the trees will speak of his glory. In the digital world that we live in, we got to be very careful that we're not always distracted. And I know we all fall victim to that. But listen, every now and then it's good to stop and just marvel at the beauty of what God's created. You know, when we read God's word and we study the topic of spiritual maturity, someone say maturity. We find that the Bible actually has a lot to say about God's desire for us to continue growing. See, the reason we come to church, the reason we read our Bibles, the reason we develop a prayer life is so that we can continue growing in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. And the more that we grow in our knowledge of who he is, the more we realize that things within us change over time. But listen to what the Bible says when it talks about growth and spiritual maturity. Let me give you the Bible's perspective of what God desires for our life. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20 says, "Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Somebody say amen or oh my. Right? How many know that sometimes we got to change that stinking thinking? We got to change, right? Some of us have some bad thinking patterns, right? Somebody says something, we're immediately triggered by something that hurt us 10 years ago, but God wants to change and deliver you from that so that you can see things the way he sees them. Are you hearing me? Hebrews 6:1 says this, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teaching about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Someone say maturity. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became grown, the Bible actually didn't say that. It says when I became a man. Someone say grown. Right? I did away with childish things. See, for some of us, we have to pursue growth now. If we want true joy, what bothers me about life sometimes, or sometimes looking at some people's struggle, is that sometimes they keep their struggle like a security blanket. It's all they've ever known. This is who I am. This is what's happened to me. You don't understand me. And therefore, they hold their old struggle as a crutch, but they never move forward in life. And today, I came here to tell you, you got to let go of that security blanket, because God has something great for you, and you don't have to be bound by your past. We serve a God that is able to heal the broken heart. We serve a God that is able to mend any relationship. We serve a God that can take a nobody and raise him up and make him somebody. When I came into the church, I was broken. I didn't think anybody wanted anything to do with me. Some of you know the story, on the verge of suicide. Didn't know what I was going to do, right? 19, already been broken. Moved out when I was 14. And I sat there and I was in search of something, but I had seen a lot of fake things in my life. And I didn't want anything fake, but I remember that someone came into my neighborhood and told me about the life-changing power of the Lord. Now, I came to church as a last resort, and I didn't even want change. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't want to be a spiritual man. But I tell you this, I was tired of being tired. I was tired of living a lie. I was tired of engaging with people that really didn't have my best interest in mind. So I was looking for something that was real. Listen, church, you got to understand, there are real people that are really hurting and on the verge of suicide. There are people right now that they don't know what they're going to do with their life, and they're at their wits' end. And what they're looking for is something that's genuine, something that is real. And the only thing that they see, the only thing they know about God is you. You are a reflection of who God is. God made us in his likeness for a reason. And there are some people, they won't come to church, but the only message that they see and hear will be how you live on a day-to-day basis. Don't clap yet. It sounds good, but my question to you is this: does your life model after the Bible, or is it complicated, twisted, and contaminated? It sounds good. Oh, that's a good message, Pastor. That's good message. But at home, we gossip, boy. Somebody, he got quiet. Right? At work, right? We say our prayer. We hate everybody at work. And people are like, man, you're angry all the time. And then you say, hey, come to my church. They're like, you go to church? You hearing me? I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, my family was like, what? You get out of here. They didn't believe me. They didn't believe that I was going to church. You know why? Because the evidence, I went to church, I prayed, I read my Bible, but the evidence of how I lived on a day-to-day basis told another story from the one I was preaching. Someone say amen or oh my. Can I preach this? Is this all right? I don't know about you, but I want truth. I don't want fake. We're going to preach the Word of God. Now, I was taught this: preach all day long and use words if you have to. You will preach a louder message with how you live and how you model to your family than any word you can speak. What am I trying to say this morning? Is God desires for us to grow. Someone say grow. 1 Peter 2:1-2 even reiterates this. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. See, salvation was the first step. When we come to the knowledge of who God is, that's when I get saved, right? When I say that prayer, when I acknowledge who He is, the Son of God, and I acknowledge that He's the Savior of the world, and then I acknowledge that He died on the cross and rose on the third day, when I ask for forgiveness and I confess those things, that's my salvation. But you got to be careful that your growth doesn't stop at your salvation. Just because you said a prayer doesn't mean that life is all good. How many know there's some work to be done? Right? This is why it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that really ministered to me, because every morning, some of you know I got a newborn. And when she wakes up, one of the first things she does, she looks at me, I hug her. But God forbid that I show her an empty bottle. Right? Right? She's going, and I'm like, oh, I got to put her down real quick. And she starts crying. I got to go make the bottle real quick, right? And she's craving it. See, some of us got to crave God's word in that manner. Some of us got to get to a place where we crave truth to that degree. At that moment, she's not worrying about anything else. The only thing she's doing is she's stretching towards that bottle because she is craving it. My question to you is this, and a lot of times people are like, Pastor, my life is messed up. This is what's happening. My question to them, are you desperate enough to let go of the things that are holding you back and pursue God? Because your breakthrough is in the presence of the Lord. I say it often, peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of the Lord. See, what some of us got to stop doing is going to everybody else and asking them for advice, because the advice they give sometimes ain't the best advice. Sometimes what we want, we don't want advice. What we want is we want comfort. See, I got people that I hang out with when I want to be comfortable. But then when I truly look at my life, I have people in my life that I ask them, listen, you got to have different types of people in your life. Don't just have people that comfort you and agree with you based off of your view. You got to have people that will tell you the truth. I got people in my life that if I go trying to cry a river to them, they'll be like, man up, stop crying. God has called you. You're a pastor. Are you hearing me? See, some of us need those type of people within our lives where we come and we say, man, I messed up again. And they look at us with no sympathy and say, man, what's wrong with you? Right? You got to be careful in this day and age. I might unfriend you on Facebook. You talk to me crazy. I'd rather tell you the truth all the way to heaven than lie to you on your way to hell. It's about truth. It's about being honest. Now let me be careful, because some of you are raw. Some of you will tell the truth, boy. You just need to learn tact. You can't always just like tell people the truth. You got to learn to do it, right? With, what do they call it? With finesse. Come on, somebody. I mean, I know some people that they're good, boy. They'll come to me and they like tell me the bad about me. But they do it in such a smooth way that I'm not mad at them. Are you hearing me? We got to learn to seek truth, not comfort. Someone say amen. See, all of these scriptures point towards growth and the process of spiritual maturity. See, God calls and accepts us as we are, but He loves us too much to keep us the same. Now, I'm not saying you got to be a robot. I'm not even saying you got to be a cookie-cutter Christian. I don't believe in cookie-cutter Christians. If you're loud, it's okay to be loud. Just know when it's okay to be loud. Right? If you're a nut, if you were a nut out there, we need some of you to stay a nut so we can go back into the neighborhood and tell other people about the Lord. Right? We are a church that we're not afraid to go into the dark places. We're not afraid to go into the alleys. We're not afraid to go out at 1 a.m. I was grateful. You know, last week I was preaching about reaching people, and then a group of people got together and they kind of moved ahead of schedule. Amen. They started taking donations and they're already strategizing and planning. And I was like, wow, they have a heart to reach people. Church, we have to grow compassion to where we leave the church and we go out there to tell people about the Lord. We got to develop a heart to where we're looking for anybody that's broken and willing to listen. And I'm not talking about looking down on them. I'm talking about looking and emphasizing and empathizing in their world. I think that sometimes we don't have compassion. When the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion when he seen that the sheep were like, they were like sheep without a shepherd, what that word compassion means, it moved them to his core and at his heart, and it caused him to enter into their world to see their pain. When was the last time we stopped and we didn't focus on our pain, but we focused on someone else's? Are you hearing me? Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're going through, but church, we got to get out there. Are you hearing me? See, the Apostle Paul dedicated his life to preaching the gospel, and he dedicated his life to working with broken people so that they could become more like Christ. That was the core of his mission. That is the core of what we believe in our church. We say it all the time. We want to reach the unchurched. We want to help people develop a closer relationship with God, and we want to spread the gospel. Now, we've took some time, and we've been trying to teach you to pray. We've been taking some time to help you get closer to God. But now we got to go back to the first, and we got to look at reaching the unchurched. Some of you are now growing, and it's time for you to share your faith with someone that's hurting. Becoming more like Christ is the goal for every believer. You ever wonder that? I used to wonder. I came to church for like a while, and I was like, what's, you know, it was all exciting. My life was changing. I came, and I loved the service. I loved the preaching of the word. But then I sat there after a year, and I was like, why am I doing all of this? You ever wonder that? Well, what's the purpose? Why come to church? Why give myself away? Because there are hurting people that come from the backgrounds that we come from. We got to tell them that there is a way. See, our heart is to reach people from all walks of life. The goal is to become more like Christ. And this is what was behind Jesus' teaching when he said in Matthew 5:48, therefore be perfect, for I, your Father, am perfect. He wasn't aiming for perfection, but what he was talking about was he wanted us to aim towards completion. How many know that if you were in school right now and you took a test and you only answered, if there was 100 questions, you only answered 50 and you turned it in, it don't matter if all those 50 were right, but if you turn it in and it's not completed, you're not going to pass, right? See, some of us, we know there are some things that we're going through, and we know that what we're going through is a test, but what we're doing is we're trying to cut corners, and we're submitting, we're coming to prayer, and we're submitting our test to the Lord, say, God, here it is. Can you get me out of this problem? God says, you got an incompletion. You didn't go through it. You didn't learn your lesson yet. Someone say, amen or oh my. So let me move on. I'm not trying to be negative, but hear what I'm saying. The goal is to be more like Jesus, right? The goal is to grow spiritually. This is why we come to church. This is why we dedicate ourselves to reading our Bibles. This is why we seek the face of God in prayer and why we commit ourselves to fellowship. So what is spiritual maturity? What is it? If that's what we're pursuing, what is spiritual maturity? Well, let me tell you this. Spiritual maturity is not a position we reach or a goal we achieve. It is a life we find ourselves living when we come to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity is not a position we reach or a goal we achieve. It's a life we find ourselves living when we come to the true knowledge of Christ. And the reason that's important to understand is because spiritual maturity doesn't just happen overnight. Like, I don't give my life to the Lord and all of a sudden all my problems go away. All of a sudden I get this great peace and I learn how to decipher and get through things. It doesn't work that way. But if you are going to grow spiritually, there's a few things you have to understand. I want to give them to you quickly. Number one, the first thing you have to understand about spiritual maturity is not an event. It's an ongoing process. How many know we never arrive? Right? It doesn't matter what I've accomplished. It doesn't matter what I've given up. At every season of my life, God is still doing something and he wants me to grow. Right? The Apostle Paul made this point very clear in Philippians 3, 12 and 14. It says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He goes on to say, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Someone say, press on. Towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Now this baffles me because here you have one of the greatest spiritual thinkers that the world has ever known. This man wrote 3/4 of the Bible, of the New Testament. This man was a great thinker, and here he is saying, not that I have already obtained this or that I've already become perfect, but he goes on to talk about his commitment to press on and continue learning. What does that tell you about his character? He wasn't satisfied with where he's at. See, some of us, we can't be satisfied. And I want to speak to those of you that you've just accepted this as life. There's some people, there's this thing called bondage where they're just, well, this is just how I am. This is how our family was. Our family's always been like this. Our family's always been alcoholics. Our family has always gone through struggle. This is just what life is like. That is not what life is supposed to be like. You're not supposed to live in loneliness. You're not supposed to be living in depression. You're not supposed to be bound to alcohol, weed, or anything else. You're not supposed to be bound to pill. You're not supposed to jump from relationship. You're supposed to live in peace and in joy. That's what God intended for us. He didn't intend for life to be chaos. But some people are like, man, life is chaos. I've always known chaos. They just accept it as chaos. Listen, this morning, you got to learn to speak to your situation, and you got to commit to growth so that God can get you through whatever it is you're going through right now. Again, here you have a great thinker, and he was committed to growth. He committed himself to growing a deeper relationship with God. He wasn't satisfied. And I say that because I believe there are a lot of people in life, they're frustrated in life because they stopped growing. Listen to me. All they know is what they know. Listen, if you hate your job, I want to challenge you to look for another job. Right? There's some people that they work at the same job for years and they hate their job. God has given you a brilliant mind. Are you hearing me? Right? Well, that's my paycheck. That's how I support my family. I need a paycheck. Yeah, I get that. I honestly do. But why not be responsible, work hard at that job, and be looking for another job? Because the Bible tells me that if I put ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, that all these things will be added to me. There are some of you, you've been doing that. You've been seeking God, but you've settled in your situation. What it's time to do now that you've been seeking is now ask him, God, could you open a door for me? I'm not asking for a handout. I'm asking for a door. There's a difference. See, some people want a handout. God doesn't give handouts. God gives opportunities. What you do with that opportunity, and sometimes that opportunity comes in the form of a resume. Sometimes that opportunity comes in the form of a job application. Job applications don't fill themselves. I don't care how much you know the Bible. I don't care how much you pray. The job is not going to fall into your lap. You got to work hard. And let me just throw this out there. You notice that every disciple that Jesus chose to do his work already had a job. And they weren't just people that had a job. They were people that were experts in whatever field they were in. See, Peter was all tore up, but he knew how to work hard. Are you hearing me? Is this making sense? Then talk to me. Here's the thing about growth. I'll be closing in a few minutes. Here's the thing about growth. Growth is a choice. You got to choose to either be a victim of your circumstance or to learn from your circumstance. I don't want to be a victim. See, because you're going to learn. Somebody say, look at the person and say, you're going to learn. Tell them, you're going to learn, Trey. You're going to learn one way or another. You can either learn by your circumstances dragging you, or you can become a student of whatever it is that you're going through. See, one of the things that I tell the guys that I work with is if they're struggling with depression, learn about depression. Are you hearing me? If you're struggling with relationships, learn what the Bible has to say about relationships. Whatever it is that you are struggling with, that's where you need to grow, and the answer is in the Bible. Something great happens to us when we choose to grow. If we're going to grow spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually, it has to be by choice. Are you hearing me? I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. How many have, like you ain't got to tell yourself, but like sometimes you get mad. Somebody wave at me. You got some anger issues from time to time. Somebody wave at me. How many have flipped off the handle maybe once this year? Maybe you flipped out multiple times. Somebody wave at me. Whenever we flip out and we lose all control, right, there is an indication that there's something within us that needs change. Therefore, why not focus on the problem and grow from it so that next time we face that issue, we're not blowing up and responding in anger. Somebody say growth. We will have to, listen, to grow, we will have to let go of some things and we'll have to submit our ways to God's ways. See, this is the key. The key to spiritual maturity is consistency and perseverance in doing the things you know that is going to bring you closer to God. That's the key to spiritual. In other words, these practices are referred to spiritual disciplines. There are certain disciplines we need to incorporate within our lives, like reading our Bible, like praying, fellowshipping, and let me throw this one in there, and serving. See, serving is part of spiritual growth, right? Some people, they love praying, they love reading their Bible, but they hate people. Right? I love the Lord, but I hate everybody. That's an oxymoron. So that just means we have to grow, right? Number two. So the first thing you have to understand is that spiritual growth is not an event. It's an ongoing process. Number two, spiritual maturity is learning how to walk in obedience to God. Spiritual maturity is a choice to live by God's viewpoint instead of our viewpoint. There is what we call natural thinking and supernatural thinking. And natural thinking is when we see things by our human point of view. But when we grow spiritually, we begin to see things the way God sees things. For some of us, that might do us some good. Are you hearing me? And I don't know about you, but before I came to the Lord, I was negative. Everything was, the glass is half empty. But I've learned through spiritual disciplines, the glass is now half full. Are you hearing me? Galatians 5:16 and 5:25 gives us greater insight to this truth. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, so I say, walk. Someone say walk. It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Galatians 5:25 in the same chapter says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now the word walk in verse 16, follow me, is from the Greek word peripateo, which means to walk with a purpose in view. So when we walk by the Spirit, listen, we can't just walk through life aimlessly. We got to walk with purpose in view. So it would make sense for us to find our purpose in life and keep that at the forefront so we're not wandering in a spiritual circle or running on some spiritual treadmill. I want to get somewhere next year. I don't want to be the same place that I am next. Listen, when it comes 2019 in December, I do not want to be the same man that I was in 2018. Now, what's going to cause me to change? Me understanding my purpose and making sure that I keep my purpose in view and in focus. See, some of you know your purpose. The problem is your focus is out of whack. You ever taken a picture, right, that's out of focus? Everything is blurry. And what do? If you want a clear picture, you either turn the phone off or you wait and you tap it to make sure that everything's back in focus. For some of us, we just got to refocus. So we can do what God has called us to do. So the word walk means to walk with purpose in view. And the word walk in verse 25, that word walk comes from a Greek word called stokeo. And it means step by step. So catch this. When we put those two words together, when it says walk in the Spirit, it's talking about spiritual maturity. But spiritual maturity is learning to walk under the obedience of the Holy Spirit. Now, how can we walk under the Holy Spirit's control? Because that's a question. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit, right? Well, it's easy. Through the reading of God's Word. How do we become spirit-filled? By the reading of God's word. The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we study God's word over time and we listen, this is the key. Not just studying it, but applying what we learn through our actions, we eventually become spirit-filled. Now, I know what it is, because when I first got saved, I would read my Bible all the time. The problem was, I noticed that a year and a half later, I'm still the same person. I'm still angry. I still got anger issues. I got all kinds of troubles within me. But when I took a closer look, I realized that reading wasn't enough. I had to live out everything I understood. And when I started living what I was learning, that's when change began to happen. So it's in some senses for you to experience spiritual maturity, you're going to have to let the word of God live out every day within your life. You're going to have to allow God to change your mind. And you will have to be obedient to whatever it is he is teaching you. Brother Eric, you can come on up. And which brings me to my last point. The last thing you have to understand about spiritual maturity. So the first thing is, spiritual maturity isn't an event, it's an ongoing process. The second thing you have to understand about spiritual maturity is that in order to become spiritually mature, you're going to have to learn to walk in obedience to God. Someone say obedience. And the last thing I want to tell you about spiritual maturity, and there's a lot I can go into, but for the sake of time, I want to bring it home here. Spiritual maturity, listen to me, you got to understand this, is only experienced by the grace of God. I used to look at, when I came to the church, man, I would look at these great men of God. And I ain't going to lie, I would look at them and I would feel less than. Have you ever done that? Where you're like, man, I could never do what they do. And I used to kind of kick myself. I'd come to church and, man, I want to change. But, man, there were things inside of me that were tore up. And I would look at other great men of God and I'd be like, man, I want to be like that. But, man, God can't use me the way he uses him. But then I came to this understanding that we as people, listen to me, there's nothing we can do to gain more of God's love. He loved us when we weren't even thinking about him. Are you hearing me? God loves you, and God has a plan for you and your life. See, we don't become people who are filled with great knowledge or the spiritual truth because we did something. Hear this. We experience spiritual maturity by the grace of God when we come to the understanding that I need him in my life. When I come to the truth that I need the power of God within my life. And when he becomes our source, listen to me. When Jesus truly becomes the source of my life, when that's where I gain strength from when I'm weak, that's when I experience spiritual maturity. Driving it home with 2 Peter 1:3 says this. Listen to this verse. Write this down if you're taking notes. It's a good verse to know. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise. See, the Bible tells us that it's through his divine power that he has given us everything we need for godliness. See, what you need to live a spiritual life is not something you do as much as something you depend on, and his name is Jesus. See, when you become a child of God, or when you accept him in your life, we are all given a need for the Lord. And to become a spiritually mature believer, we have to make a choice to follow after the Lord. And here's my question. Will you choose to use and apply God's principles to your life? See, this is the wonderful thing about being submitted to God's maturing process, is that when you do, when you submit yourself to God's maturing process. Catch this. Over time, you will naturally just change from who you used to be. See, God does the changing. You don't have to worry about becoming mature, because when you submit to God's principles and God's process for your life, naturally, the things that you used to want to do, you will no longer want to do. See, there's some people, they hold on to things like alcohol or medical marijuana. Come on, don't look at me like that. We all know one person, right? It's medical marijuana, right? Right? I ain't gonna lie, when I came to the Lord, I didn't want to let go of certain things. Believe it or not, the hardest thing for me to let go when I got saved, what do you think it was? No, don't say, don't guess. Some of you are going to say, some of you are off the wall. I'm not lying to you. But the hardest thing for me to let go, believe it or not, was smoking weed. I didn't know how I was going to give it up. I liked it so much, I didn't want to, like, I kind of come to church, but watch this. I would come to church, I would read my Bible, and I would start doing what the Bible says. But you know what happened over time? Every time I tried to let go of it, I would go back to it. But I realized when I started doing what the Bible said in little things, naturally I let it go and I didn't even want it anymore. There was absolutely no crave within my life for it. And for some of you, you got to understand this. Walking with God is not a set of rules. It's not a tradition. It's not a religion. It's about relationship. And you'll be surprised of the glory and the peace and the joy you will find when you surrender your heart to the Lord. I think that's what holds a lot of people back. Pastor, I'm not ready to give this up. Don't focus on what you got to give up. I'm asking you to focus on everything you have to gain. Depression has got to go. Listen to me. Suicidal thoughts have to go. Anger has to go. Fear and anxiety have to leave the presence of God. And God wants to bless you this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand with me.